The text is the Easter Gospel from Luke chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Here ends our text. I know it's Easter and not Christmas, but this text calls for a play on Dickens' classic Christmas tale, A Christmas Carol. The last verse of the text is, "But they," the 11 and the others, "did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense." My Greek dictionary says the Greek word in the insert renders nonsense can also be translated humbug. So when the leaders of the New Testament church first heard the news of the resurrection, they responded with Ebenezer Scrooge's dismissive humbug. How do we get from humbug to the joyous carol, "Hallelujah, Christ is risen indeed"? We start where Dickens does. The first line in his book is, "Marley was dead," to begin with. Then he goes on to emphasize that this fact was beyond a shadow of a doubt. There is no doubt whatever about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Our Easter carol starts where Dickens' Christmas carol does, with a certain death. Jesus was dead to begin with. The political authorities verified it. When a secret disciple of Jesus came to Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus, Pilate couldn't believe Jesus had died so quickly. So he summoned the centurion in charge of the execution, who certified Jesus was dead. Jesus' enemies also certified his death. The Pharisees asked Pilate to guard the tomb of Jesus so his disciples could not steal his body. Finally, Jesus' friends certified he was dead. The women came to the tomb Easter Sunday not to shout, "He is risen," like you did, but to finish embalming his body. When it says they did not find the body of Jesus, that can be translated, and probably should be translated, they did not find the dead body of Jesus. They did not find the corpse of Jesus. To show you just how thoroughly dead the apostles knew Jesus was, when the women tell them he has risen, they say, "Humbug." But wait, there's evidence outside of the Bible that, like Marley, Jesus was dead to begin with. The Roman historian Tacitus says, "Christ had been executed in Tiberius' reign by the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate." Thallus, a Samaritan historian, says, "It was the time of the Paschal full moon when Christ died." The letter of Mara Bar Superion, written after AD 73, says, "What advantage did the Jews gain from executing their wise king?" And finally, Josephus, the Jewish historian who lived 37 to 100 AD, wrote, "At this time there was a wise man called Jesus. Pilate condemned him to be crucified and to die." Later on, Josephus refers to the crucifixion as having taken place. So we start where Dickens started, with the fact that a real death has occurred. But we go where Dickens can't. Marley dies for no one's sins but his own. All of his crooked, hard-hearted business dealings followed him into the grave. Jesus had no sins. Pilate himself testified that Jesus was innocent at least 3 times. The thief on the cross testified that Jesus hadn't even done anything improper. Even Jesus' enemies couldn't think of one single thing to testify against him. They had to make things up. Even then, their testimony didn't agree. By dying, Marley didn't pay for even his own sins. He was doomed to carry them around his neck for eternity, to drag them behind him as massive chains. The much alive Scrooge doesn't see his own chains. Marley, his ex-business partner, says he didn't either while he was alive, but there they were at death. All the wrongs he had ever done in life had been forging a real yet invisible heavy chain that caused Marley torment and pain in eternity. Marley wants Scrooge to see his chains now before it's too late. Well, that's a good idea. All the apostles, all the disciples of Jesus, all the women at the tomb, they saw their chains. That's why they followed Jesus. He said he came to give his life as a ransom payment for sinners. He said that he came for the sake of sinners, not holy people, for the sake of the sick, not the healthy, for ones who saw, felt, heard their chains, not for those who thought themselves free. So do you see your chains? Do you feel their weight? Do you hear their rattling? Do you see that because you were born of sinful parents, you were born wearing chains? Do you see that you've spent a lifetime adding links? And the heaviest links you forge were not forged by your shameful secret sins, but by fearing death, disease, or people more than you do God. Your loudest links were forged by loving spouse, child, or self more than you do God. Your thickest links were forged by countless worries that prove you don't trust God above all things. Marley couldn't rescue himself from even his own sins. Jesus was supposed to rescue us from ours, but both Marley and Jesus were dead. Marley can do no more for Scrooge than to warn him. Marley gives way to 3 spirits. That's the best Dickens can do with a dead man. But Jesus isn't just another dead man. Jesus is God of God, light of light, very God of very God. Jesus does not give way to spirits. Jesus gives the Holy Spirit. We can go where Dickens can't. Marley is dead and he stays dead. Jesus rises from the dead. But go back to his death because that's important. St. Paul says it best. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. His death was about your chains. The countless links you forged by a lifetime of sinning were wrapped all around him. Their heavy weight sunk Jesus under the wrath of God into the depths of hell. Jesus gave his life as a ransom payment for you. The wages sin earned is death, and that eternal, because all sins are against the eternal God. Jesus paid the wages your sins have earned you. There is a necessity here that has to be seen. Seeing this is what brought the woman to faith that Jesus had risen. In our text, they don't see Jesus any more than you do, but they go and proclaim he is risen. How come? They see this necessity I'm talking about. Marley is right. We forge chains in life that have to be answered for in death. The women had those chains. They followed Jesus as the one who would free them from their chains. Once he died, though, they thought that he had failed. Until angel said, "Remember how Jesus told you before he died, he must be delivered into the hands of sinful man. He must be crucified, and on the 3rd day, he must be raised again." It was necessary that Jesus die to save them from their sins. There was no other way to pay off the wages their sins had earned except by dying. Jesus could die for their sins in their place because he had none of his own to die for. And just as his dying was necessary, so was his rising. Then, after the angel showed them the necessity of it all, they remembered his words. Jesus' words are spirit, and they are life. Marley's words pointed to spirits who brought Scrooge face to face with his own death. Jesus' words give the spirit who shows the women that as sure as Jesus' death had to happen, so sure did his resurrection. And then, without seeing, without hearing from the risen Jesus, they run to tell the others that Jesus is risen. They run free of their chains to those still in chains. They are free. They are free because they see that Jesus took their chains into the grave and rose without them. The rest are still in chains because while the death of Jesus is real to them, his resurrection, which proclaims their chains are broken, is humbug. Don't you stay in your chains 1 minute longer. You cannot bear their weight, and their rattle will haunt you for all eternity. Go in this Easter carol where Dickens' Christmas carol cannot take you. Dickens' answer is don't forge chains in this life. Christ's answer is to see your chains paid for by his death in your place and to see them broken by his rising from the dead without them. The only reason Jesus, the Son of God, died was to pay for your sins. Being God in flesh and blood, once he had died for sins, death had no authority or power over him. He rises to proclaim the world's sins have been paid for. No one has to go to their grave wrapped in chains. Our Easter carol has taken us where Dickens never could. But we end in the same place. A changed man. But there is a difference. Scrooge changes in order not to end up like the chain-laden Marley. We change because we have been forgiven and freed of our chains by the risen Jesus. There's a difference in motivation behind the changed life, and there's a difference of location. Christmas is the first day of the rest of Scrooge's life. Easter is the first day of eternity for us. It's our eighth day. Luke points this out by saying in the last verse of chapter 23 that the women rested on the seventh day. Well, that makes Easter the eighth day. Read your Old Testament. People outside of the church, because of religious or ceremonial defilement, were always brought back in on the eighth day. The eighth day is the beginning of the new creation. Leaving here in the forgiveness of your sins that Jesus won means you go out into a new reality where neither sin, death, nor the devil rule, but Jesus does. Dickens shows that for the changed man, Scrooge, the whole world looks different. This is good. For you, the unchained man or woman, the whole world is different. For you, sins are no longer unbreakable links in a chain, but forgivable by the power of the resurrected Jesus' forgiving word. For you, water can be more than just plain water. Joined to the words of Jesus, water is a baptism, powerful enough to melt the hardest of chains. For you, wine can be more than just something to gladden your heart, and bread more than something that just feeds your body. Joined to the words of Jesus, wine becomes his blood and bread his body to strengthen and preserve you in a life freed from your chains. Both the Christmas Easter carol and a Christmas carol end with people going from humbug to happy. Scrooge is happy that he hasn't missed Christmas. The women are happy that sin, death, and the devil have missed them. In fact, sin, death, and the devil are now humbug to them. And they can be for you too. That's what they were for Jesus on Easter, right? He didn't rise fretting about death, sin, or the devil, and you don't have to live that way either. This truth brings Easter carols of hope, joy, and peace from unchained bodies and souls. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.